thought about the song we just sang, Whispering Hope. You know, hope's an important thing. It's a very biblical topic. And I think it's a very relevant subject for us because we have so many people that are being threatened in so many ways. Health problems, losses of people we love. In 1 John, the third chapter, John writes, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." I hope you consider yourself to be a child of God. And if you're not, I hope you'll consider the importance of that, which is one of the things we'll talk about here this morning. He goes on and says, because that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it did not know him. The guy that heaved the beer can yesterday had no concept of what God is or who Jesus is. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been yet made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope, there's that word, in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. You say, well, I don't feel very pure. Well, you need to understand the concept of purity is a concept of being free from guilt. We're not talking purity here as being perfect. None of us are that. We're talking about living life in a way that we have a positive attitude towards life and towards our relationship to God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, talks about faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you have hope. My question is, what is it in? What do you hope for? What is your faith in? Is your hope for money? You know, I found a dollar bill yesterday while we were doing all that. Must have blown out of somebody's car. I gave it to the gals that were working with us because Rose, especially because Rose had an unfortunate accident. She was driving a rental car. I said, well, you're going to need some extra cash. Here you go. Here's a dollar. Then I told her where it came from. She wasn't impressed. It was a dirty piece of coin. You have hope in America. Is that what your hope is in? Those of us that are veterans had a lot of hope for our country. And some of us are scared right now about that hope. You have hope in the United Nations? You have hope in education? You have hope in your parents? You have hope in the Tea Party? You have hope for Donald Trump? You have hope for the Democratic Party? You have hope in the United States military? You have hope in Congress? Boy, there's one that might be wasted. You have hope in your doctor? You have hope in science? You have hope in something. You're looking forward to something. My question is, what do you hope for? And does that hope sustain you in life? Let me tell you something. The last thing that dies is hope. What happens when you lose hope? Resignation? Suicide? Fatalism? Desperation? I've been trying to encourage Willard because I know where he is. When you lose your wife, all of those things cross your mind. Because what you had hoped for in the wedding, in the marriage is gone. I've been there. So you have resignation. You have fatalism. You have desperation. The word hope is used in the Bible 150 times. 86 of those are in the New Testament. So it's more of a theme in the New Testament than it is the Old Testament. I want to talk about three things connected with hope this morning. What is the hope to which John appeals in this passage we just read? How can we know we have this hope? What difference does it make, anyway? What is the hope to which John appeals? 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 13. The writer in Thessalonians says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of the call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." Do you believe what you have right now is the best you're ever going to have? I want you to think about that. Is this as good as it gets? Is spring the best thing you'll ever see? And I love spring. Those of you that have been by my house know I got daffodils planted all over the place. And all those yellow flowers are coming out right now. What a great time. Love spring. We've had a rough winter. We've had a flood. We're still involved in massive cleanup. Been tough, but is this the best you're ever going to have? Think about the transition promised by Jesus. You know, I could go around this auditorium right now and just about everybody here, I could tell something about you that has not been good that has happened in the last couple of months. Some of you have been sick. Some of you have had terrible problems with your health. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you are just plain lonely. Some of you are frustrated. Some of you got financial problems. But you know what? That's all going to be gone. If you're a Christian, all this stuff that bothers us now, it's going to be gone. That passage says to you, you know, if you believe in God, if you understand it's the God of the Bible, and I've said this many times, you know, when I'm not here, I'm out somewhere talking to people of how we can know there is a God and how we can know that the Bible is God's Word. That's what I do when I'm not here, because that's the ministry I'm involved in. And if you believe that, then all that stuff is going to be gone. What a great hope. Our hope for positive change isn't for the now. So he says, encourage each other with this hope. It's going to get better. But how can we know we have that? I want you to listen to this statement. Biblical hope is an expectation, not a speculation. Let me say that again. Biblical hope is an expectation. It's not a speculation. We're not saying maybe this will happen. Here's a pipe dream you can verbalize. No. We know this is going to happen. There is no doubt that it's going to happen. There is no expression of doubt in the biblical message. 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. You understand what that's saying? That's an expectation. That if we are living the Christian life, if we're doing what God has called us to do, then it doesn't matter that we make mistakes. Now, we need to work at doing better. We need to ask God's forgiveness. But the fact that I fall and make bad choices and say things I shouldn't say, But the blood of Christ cleanses me. That's a promise. That's an expectation. He goes on and says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You say you're perfect? No, you're not. You say you never make a mistake? Yes, you do. You just did one. We deceive ourselves. He goes on and says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It isn't up to you. It isn't up to you. It is up to you to live as best you can. It is up to you to strive to be what God calls you to do. But it is not up to you to be perfect, because you won't be perfect. That's an expectation. That hope is a realization. 2 Peter 1 verse 10, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a promise. That's a promise from God. Do you believe God's promise? If you believe in God, you certainly do believe his promise. Do we trust God? Do we believe what he says? What an incredible positive message that gives to us. So what difference does it make? Does hope make any difference in how we live? In 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 3, there's a discussion, and it has more to say about God's promises. The Bible says, his divine power has been given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, do you hear that? For you've been possessed these qualities in increasing measure. Before I go on with this, are you better today than you were a year ago? Are you doing better than you were a year ago? Are you growing? If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sin. What a great promise. Hope provides an attitude, a radiance towards others. 1 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you of the reason for the hope you have. Can you do that? Have you grown? God calls us to be continually growing in those qualities. That's quite a list, isn't it? That's an incredible set of qualities. We want to be around people like that. Some of you remember, we have a guy that shows up here every summer. His name is Ray Zell. He's an old friend of mine. He comes from Tennessee, and he stays in the varsity club in South Bend because he's got some kind of connection to Notre Dame. And he was an elder in the church in Lebanon, Tennessee when I was down there. And he is the happiest guy. I had a waitress one time say to him, "Why are you always so happy? You've been in here 3 times and you're always happy." I thought that was kind of interesting. And I waited to hear his response. And he said, "Well, ma'am, all us Christians are happy." And she said, "Well, I'm not a Christian." He said, "Well, maybe you need to look into that. Maybe you need to look into that. You're always happy." See, happiness provides an answer to the challenges that we have. That song that we sang a few minutes ago, 773, goes well with our invitation song this morning. Whispering Hope. You think about the lyrics? "Soft as the voice of an angel breathing a lesson unheard, hope with a gentle persuasion whispers her comforting word." Are you comforted by your faith? Can you sleep better? Do you involve yourself in more things and have a desire to put yourself into more things that bring goodness, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and so forth? All those things I read in 2 Peter. Brighten the glimmering star. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is past. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone. You got problems now? Yeah. Let me tell you something. They're going to go. They're going to leave. They're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. You say, "Well, I've got cancer. I'm going to die." I said, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. You say, "I got arthritis." Yeah, welcome to the club. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. You say, "I'm having trouble with my wife. I'm having trouble with my husband." It's going to be gone. After the shower is gone. If in the dusk of the twilight dim be the region afar, will not the darkening shadows brighten the glimmering star? See, once you've been down that dark road and you break out of it and you get free of it and you begin to move away from it, then life looks so much brighter. Because the worst is behind you. I've picked on Willard quite a bit here, but he's going through the worst part of the loss of your loved one right now. Boy, I remember that first 2 months, terrible. But now it's been 9 years, and it's a whole different situation. And it's not just because of Cindy. She's part of it. But God helps us in dealing with that darkness, with the loss, and with the challenges of life. I'm glad we have some veterans that are with us regularly. You know, we have a lot of discussion today about people that were traumatized by their experiences in the military. I know a little bit about that, so does Richard. We weren't in the worst of it. But we saw the consequences. And you know what? When you've been through that kind of thing, to be able to look at the fact that this life is the worst thing we're ever going to have and that everything ahead is bright and that hope of the future is a good thing, it gives us the capacity to deal with the things around us. Hope as an anchor so steadfast. Our invitation song is, Will Your Anchor Hold in the Storms of Life? What's your anchor? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Is your anchor money? You know, if your anchor is money, then all the rich people that have lived should be the happiest, right? You know, regardless of your politics, when you look at Donald Trump, does he look like a happy guy to you? He's got money. J.P. Morgan, was he a happy guy? The financial wizards of the past, the ones that made the big money, were they happy people? If why, then did 60% of them commit suicide? Will your anchor hold? All that stuff I talked about a few minutes ago. Even America. Will that anchor hold in the storms of life? Let me tell you something, folks. This country is not perfect. I don't care who your president is. I don't care what your political persuasions are. It's not perfect. The history of this country in racial relationships is coming back to haunt it. The history of this country and the way women are treated is just blowing wide open right now. Well, we've got circumstances that have been a part of our past. This country has not been perfect. Jesus is perfect. He was the one that broke through and gave women status and equal rights. He was the one that initiated the concept. You young girls that are with us, your hope for the future is rooted in what Christ brought to this planet. Because every other system that's ever been out there denigrated women and proclaimed racial division. See, we know who we are as Christians. We know what we are as Christians. And praise God, we know where we're going as Christians. You know what that's worth? You know, I'm 80 years old. I don't have long to live. Am I afraid of that? Well, I'm not in any big hurry to die, but I'm not afraid of it. Because I know where I'm going. And it's important to understand the importance of life. How do you endure life if you don't have that kind of anchor? And the answer is you don't. You all know that my parents were atheists. And you know, I've told you lots of stories. You heard about them. You probably know them more than you want to know. But you know, my mother was a rank atheist until she got to 90 years of age. And by the time she was 93, she decided she didn't want to live that way anymore. And she said, I have no hope of anything better. Is this life the best I'm ever going to have? And the answer is no, because she became a Christian at that age. But think of the things she could have accomplished. Did you see the article in the paper the other day about the Swiss woman who committed suicide because she didn't want to grow old? Yeah? How many Alzheimer's patients in the past 20 years have committed suicide because they didn't want to suffer the ravages of mental decline? Well, we all decline mentally. We all forget things more than we used to. And I hate to tell you, young people, but that's going to get worse. I'm talking from experience, okay? What is your hope? What do you hope for the future? Is a boat your hope for the future? There's one over there. Is a fancy car your hope for the future? I was kidding Gary yesterday. There was a Corvette down there. And I said, you can't put that in your sack, Gary. It's not trash. He said, I don't know if it was him or said, or somebody behind me said, well, maybe it is. Did you ever ride in one of those things? Well, you have a point. How about your house? How about your grandkids? What is your hope for the future based on? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. We started with that passage in 1 John 3. And my question to you is, are you a child of God? Do you have this hope? Or do you have no hope? Our invitation song is number 776. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life? This song eloquently expresses what I tried to express in this lesson this morning. And I hope you'll walk out of this building today with great hope for the future. No matter how bad it is now, no matter what your life may be, you can be a child of God and have the wonderful hope that God offers. If you want that hope, won't you respond to that invitation? As together we stand and sing to encourage you, please respond to God's call.